Kathy's birthday today. Happy birthday. Tomorrow is her birthday. We'll sing at the end. And if you want to sing to my wife and I, you'll have to come back tonight. I'm sorry. 7 o'clock. And we're doing a great series on words for the birds tonight. So, and it's not happy anniversary. That's not the words for the birds. Amen and amen. How many of you are in Sunday school this morning? Oh, wonderful. We are studying the book of Acts in Sunday school. And in the book of Acts, the believers were on the go. And they were going with a message of the gospel, which is the good news. And you take the go out of gospel and you have the word spell. And we shouldn't be in a spell. We should be moving forward with the gospel. That's the main reason why we're here on earth, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And Christ said he's got all authority in heaven, but he said he's got it on earth. You don't need a license to go out here with the gospel and give the gospel. And the early church was doing that with the help of the Holy Spirit. And they had reached their Jerusalem. They had gone into Judea and Samaria, and they had planted an Antioch church, like we said. And even the Apostle Paul went out from the Antioch church with Barnabas and then with Silas, and they went on 3 missionary journeys, and he planted a church in a place called Ephesus. How many have heard of Ephesus? It's in modern-day Turkey. It was a great church like Antioch. And he planted that church. Now, at this time, when we're in 1 Timothy, I'm going to ask you to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 Timothy 2. At this time, the apostle is writing to a pastor, an apostolic legate, who was the head pastor over the Ephesian church. And this church was a great church that was going with the gospel, but perhaps they needed a kick in the you-know-where. To be able to, the posterior, to be able to go out there and to get going with the gospel. By the way, I need it from time to time. You need it. And this morning, I want to talk to you about that because I want to preach a message to you about what really got this progress going in the book of Acts. They just kept going and going from Jerusalem all the way to Rome. And they did it in the power of the Holy Spirit. But if I were to ask you, I'm sure you would know, some of you would know, what got it all going. And I'll tell you what got it all going, this progress of the gospel. It was prayer for the power of the Holy Spirit so that they could make progress with the gospel. And I want to preach to you this morning and teach you on you need a praying priority to make your progress in the gospel. You need a praying priority so that you can go forward and reach out with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they did it in Acts 1, and they had a 10-day prayer meeting, and God powered them, blessed them. Acts 2, the Holy Spirit filled them, and it was emblematic of flames of fire upon them. Boy, we need some more Christians that are on fire for Jesus Christ. The Christian faith isn't just taught, it's caught. And you need to have that fire of God. And prayer is what fuels that fire. It's like putting gasoline on the fire. How many have ever put gasoline on a fire? Don't do that. That's very dangerous. But I have done it from a distance. Amen? And it really works. You can wind up with no eyebrows if you do it wrong, no hair. But we need some Christians that are on fire for God. I remember when our church got started, we started up at the Holy Hill up there at Baptist Bible. And we started praying up there, and we got on fire for God. And I remember our first pastor, Charles Ware, he used to say, "You're talking trash, Bloom. You're talking trash." He wanted to talk about Jesus more and more. And he you know, you get around a person, you just know what they're going to talk about. It's their default thing. It's the thing they're interested in. But when I hung around with Charlie Ware, it was fresh stuff from the Bible. It was fresh stuff about Jesus. He was walking with him. He was talking with him. He was witnessing for him. And Man, we need that today. And I believe it all starts with what Paul wrote to Timothy. Because remember, when Paul wrote to Timothy, he was trying to tell him how he should behave himself in the local church at Ephesus. And he was saying, you need Timothy to make praying a priority if you guys are going to keep going forward with the gospel. And so let me give you two main points on that very subject here in 1 Timothy 2. And I'm going to emphasize verses 1 through 3. I'll touch on the other verses. But number one, you need a praying priority to make progress with the gospel by your weapon of all kinds of prayer to get all kinds of people saved. And I want you to look at verse 1 of chapter 2, 1 Timothy. He says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Now, I want you to notice here, prayer is broken down into different facets here. And Paul was a great teacher, and he's breaking it down. So I thought we should break it down. When we're looking at a weapon, if you have a weapon, you need to take the weapon apart, put it together, know how it works, so you can function with it. And so we want to do that with the weapon of prayer, because prayer is a powerful, powerful weapon. And it's a powerful weapon when you pray, but when you get a group of people praying, man, mercy, it is a powerful weapon. We have a Revival Seekers prayer meeting on Saturday just for the men. I counted, we had 8 men praying this Saturday. What a blessing that is. What a powerful thing that is. I hope you come to prayer meeting on Wednesday night. 7 o'clock, and we pray, and we use these different aspects of this great weapon that we're talking about. And the first one is supplications. Now, I looked at this word, and the root word of supplication means to lack. You think of the word supply. I lack supply, right? Amen. I'm sure you've at times lacked supply. I can remember on a pastor's salary with 6 kids, Amy can remember this, going to the cupboard and finding it nearly bare. Opening the refrigerator, finding it bare. They didn't like my preaching, and they starved me out. But God, listen, God never lacks in His supply. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your what? Your weakness. Listen, to supplicate, you've got to see your lack. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness they will be filled. You know what's a problem with the Laodicean church? The Laodicean church says, I'm rich. I'm increased with goods. I don't need anything. I've got air conditioning. I've got padded pews. I've got everything. We've got all the money we need, everything we need. But what you lack, my friend, is the power of God to get people saved and to have people walk and leap and praise God. And so, listen, this is talking about, Paul is writing to the pastor and he's saying, Pastor Timothy, you need to realize you need supply. You need the Bible calls it the further supply of the Holy Spirit. You say, I thought I got all of the Holy Spirit when I got saved. Well, He's in you if you're born again. He's living in you, but you don't have all of the supply of the Holy Spirit. I mean, they got filled in Acts 2, and they saw 3,000 get saved in a day, and they were seeing people get saved. But my friend, they got persecuted. Amen. They got knocked right in the belly. Got the wind knocked out of them. And when you get knocked in the belly, you need to get refilled, amen, with the power of God. And so he is saying, supplication, you need to go to God for supply of the power of the Holy Spirit to get people saved. Didn't Paul say in Acts chapter 6, and pray for me that I may speak with boldness as I ought to speak the word of God. Now, Paul depended upon the Holy Spirit, and he depended on people's prayers. I beg you to pray for the preacher. I beg you to pray for the soul winners, that we would see not just the gospel going out there, but the power of God with the gospel to get people saved and then to give them the assurance of their salvation. So supplication means that you know that you're without something you need, and the greatest need that people have is to be saved. I'm sure you have loved ones. If they don't get saved, my friend, they're dying and going to hell forever. Just think about that. And I'm not talking about just praying a prayer. I'm talking about being born again. If they don't get saved, you can't save them, but God can. We need to beg God for His supply. Oh, people, oh, my little toe hurts me. Pray for it. My this hurts. And there's nothing wrong with that. We're supposed to take every burden to the Lord. But are we praying for souls to get saved? Even Roberts, the great Welsh revivalist, he claimed, I think it was 100,000 souls. And he was praying for that. Oh, would to God, God would give us an empty heart and a yearning and a longing for people to get saved. You know, I was at Kelleher's up here and was talking to the guys. And a guy came in, he had a Trump hat on, and I got to talking to the guy, and of course the Kelleher's guys are telling me, they said, you know, Pastor, we're not going to vote this year. I said, well, if you're going to vote for Harris, better you don't vote, because I said, what she's bringing in is really bad stuff. It's better you don't vote than that you vote at all. And then this guy had a Trump hat on, and he came outside, and I asked him the two spiritual questions. And you know what? He said, Pastor, I believe in against abortion. I believe in all these good, virtuous, moral things that America needs. And I said, that's great. I said, but unless you get saved from your sins, you're still going to die and go to hell. And I told him how to be saved. And you know what? You can be moral. You can vote right. You can be red and vote right. And that's good. We want that to vote right because our country's in trouble. But it won't. It may help save our country for a time and prolong God's patience. But it won't save you from hell. Right. Only Jesus Christ can save a person from hell. And so he is writing here to say, and I'm preaching what Paul's writing, you need supplication. You need to see the lack and to beg God urgently for the supply. I like what Spurgeon's deacon said. When a week went by and they weren't seeing people come down the aisle, get saved, get back, he said, Governor, this will not list. In other words, we can't have this. We've got to beg God for His supply, not just so we can fill the church. No, so that we can empty hell and get people in heaven. And so supplications, he said. When I was down at Wilkes-Barre, that's what I told the people. I said, you know, we need a red wave to save our northeastern Pennsylvania, to save our nation. But we need a red wave of the blood of Christ to save people from hell. And that's the most important thing. And then he says, the next word here is your weapon called prayers. Notice that? Supplications and prayers. You say, well, that's what this is about, praying. But he's taking an aspect of prayer here and emphasizing it. And what that means is that when you pray, you need to brag on God. You need to give God praise. You need to give God the glory. You need to tell Him how great He is. And you say, well, is that good to brag on somebody? It's good to brag on God. He's worthy to brag on Him. And the Bible says God inhabits the praises of His people. You know, when I went to the Trump rally, Pastor Ware, our first pastor, he sent me this this scripture in 1 Timothy chapter 2. And it says, you know, we're supposed to be doing supplications and prayers. And when I was there, I led, and there was about 4,000 people ultimately that filled that building. I got everything started. And I led in prayer. And you know what prayer is? It's what I did. I bragged on God. I said, praise be unto you, O God, who made everything out of nothing. I'm not very creative. Some of you are more creative. But none of you can create anything out of nothing. God alone can do that. And I said, not only that, but He did it in six 24-hour days. I don't believe in this theistic evolution gobbledygook and garbage. No. It has death before sin, and it's just a heresy, and it's wrong. God made everything out of nothing in six 24-hour days. Now, that's doing something. Amen. That's our God. And I said, you're the God that split the Red Sea and brought your people. You're the God of George Washington who delivered America from the greatest empire that was more powerful. And yet you delivered and raised up George Washington. And you know what? That's what God wants. But you know what? I don't believe prayer just stops there. It not only is praising God, but it's confessing your junk, your sin. And when I prayed at that rally, I said, oh God, we've turned from you. We've turned our back on you. We've turned away from you. And confession means you say the same thing about yourself and your sin that God says. You just pour it out and you tell him. And this is what we need to do. If we're going to have God's help, if we're going to have God's supply and supplication, if we're going to have God's aid, we have to pray with praise to God, with adoration, and then with confession of our sin and our failure. You see, not that we're so great, God, you're so good to have us. You know, like the Pharisees, he prayed with himself. He didn't have any supplication. I thank God I'm not like other men. I fast twice a week. I'm not like other men. And the Pharisee went home with nothing. He died and went to hell, actually. You know what? You could be a Trump supporter and die and go to hell. You are a sinner. And these people may be a Romans 1 sinner, but you're a Romans 2 sinner. That's the self-righteous sinner. You know what I'm talking about. And that will not save you. You need something more than the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees and the publican that said, oh God, I'm not worthy. He said, be merciful to me. Be mercy seat merciful to me. He went home justified. His sins were taken care of. Would to God that we had confession and adoration in our praying along with these supplications. But I want you to notice there's a third thing here, he says, that you need if you're going to have praying that would make progress and cause our church to make an impact, which we desperately need today. And it is this, intercessions. Notice that, intercessions. You say, well, what does intercession mean? Intercession is you standing between God and people that are sinful, that are about to get hit with the wrath of God. You stand between God and those people. I couldn't help but think when I think of intercession of Aaron. Remember Aaron in the Bible? God was angry with the people and they had sinned against God. And God began to pour out judgment upon them. And they were dying of some plague and they were dropping dead. And God's instruction to Aaron was, you need to take a censer, which the priest had, put incense in it that would smell good to God and would be well pleasing to God. You need to get between those people that are dying and those people that are still alive, and you need to stand between them and God so that the people that are still alive would not die. And Aaron didn't walk, he ran with that censer. And you know what? I couldn't help but think, I've prayed for people, maybe you have too. I prayed for them all their life to get saved. And now they're dead, and I can't pray for them anymore. You know, there are some religions that say we can pray for the dead. That's a lie. You can't pray for the dead. Once they're dead, they're not in purgatory. That's not in the Bible. I shared that with Anthony at the rally. And he said, really? It's not in the Bible. No, there's no purgatory in the Bible. It was invented by the church to get money. Build a basilica. There's only heaven and hell. And when you die, you do not pass go. You do not collect $200. You go right to hell if you're not saved, if you're not a born-again believer. And so we need to stand between the living and the dead. Are you praying for people while you have the opportunity? Do you have time just praying for people? I'm talking about your own family first, your own loved ones. Charity begins at home. Praying for them to be saved. Oh, I know many of you are. But I'm just saying we need to. And then we need to pray for our community. We need to pray for our country. And we need to pray for a wave of revival that will get a red wave of the blood of Jesus, where people will see their sin and go to Him and get saved. And it's interesting because intercessory prayer means that you stand between the dead and the living and pray for them. But look what it says in verse 4 of 1 Timothy 2, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. And then notice that, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. You know what? That's exactly what Jesus Christ did. He stood between God and you. He stood and took the wrath of God for you. Remember, Peter said, I'm going to die for you, Lord. The Lord said, you're going to deny me three times, Peter. Think of how many times you've sinned against the Lord. Even since you've met Christ, you sin against His love and His grace. But still, He bore His cross for you. He alone was on that cross. There was nobody with Him. He took the wrath of God. And notice, it's between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. He had to become a man to die for you. And He did that. And He told Peter and James and John, come with me and pray and intercede, you know. But they were sleeping. And I believe there are many believers today, unfortunately, they're asleep at the switch. We need to pray for our nation. We need to pray for our city. We need to pray for our state. We need to pray for our own children and grandchildren. We need to pray for people to really get saved. Yes. And unless that happens, my friend, they are going to hell. And so supplication means you beg God for the supply of salvation. And prayer means you praise God for who He is, His power, His grace. And you confess sins of yourself and others. And then intercession, you stand between God and people like a priest to pray down God's blessing. And what's the greatest blessing? If you got salvation, you got everything. Because not only are you saved from hell, but if you're saved, you've got everything that goes with it. You are rich. I don't care what your 401k is. I don't care what your net worth is. You are rich. Remember the beggar Lazarus? He had a rich guy that he had a net worth that was to die for. And he did die and go to hell and lost it all. But Lazarus, my friend, he was enjoying paradise. And the rich man was the one begging now. He was the beggar, begging for a drop of water. Oh, my friend, these things are true. And yet people are not concerned about their souls. Are you concerned? Are you concerned enough to intercede for people? And are you concerned enough to come to a prayer meeting and join with others and pray for unsaved people? I appreciate Tom Layton in the back. He's witnessing to people. He's bringing people for us to pray for. Karen prays for her family and brings that up. Gretchen, right? We're praying for Gretchen right now. She shared with the class. Listen, we need to be praying and seeing answers to our prayers through intercession and through our mediator. But I want you to notice another thing here. He says in this powerful praying that causes progress, he's saying, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Giving of thanks be made for all men. Now, you know that in order for you to pray effectively, the Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. You know, in order for you to pray effectively, you need to pray with faith. The Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He's a what? A rewarder. I like what Mrs. Bloom said. She said, wouldn't it be great if there really was a God? Wouldn't it be great if He really heard our prayers? Wouldn't it be great if He really answered those prayers and had the power to answer those prayers? Well, it's all true, but we need faith in that God. And if you just pray and beg God for things, what I find out happening is as we begin to beg, we begin to realize the impossibility of our situation. We begin to realize, you know, the great need and how great it is. And then our problems and our need becomes bigger and bigger, and our God shrinks smaller and smaller. That's why he says you need to add thanksgiving to the mix. Giving of thanks. Thank God for what he's done in the past. Thank God for answers to prayer that he has given you. Thank God for the great things that he's done that will focus your attention away from yourself to the great, big, wonderful God that we have, and thank him for the many answers to prayer that he has given us in the past. And the Bible says not only all these different kinds of prayers, supplications, praying with adoration and confession, intercessions, giving of thanks. He says, but do it for all men. Isn't that so important? You know what? We need to preach the gospel to the down and outer. But we also need to preach it to the up and outer. I'm praying for bus kids to get saved in Wilkes-Barre and Scranton and Carbondale and all over. But I'm also praying for people like the Catholic middle class. That's so big a part of the city. I see these guys at Kelleher's. They remind me of the Catholic middle class. And I joke with these guys and talk to these guys. They hear me witness, and I want to see these guys get saved. I want to see the Catholic. You know, on Billy Sunday, I was down at the rally, Julius, and I told somebody there that was there. I was handing out a lot of tracts, but I told somebody there at the rally, I said, when Billy Sunday came through Scranton, in what, 1914? There was over 100,000 people in this area, and over 25% of them, listen to me, over 25% of them walked the Sawdust Trail, and they professed to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. 10 years later, over 80% of that 25% of all Scranton was still serving God in local churches, and they were on the church rolls. Even this congregation that was in this building, 1886, they grew like crazy. And it made an impact. It made an impact. And I'm just saying that we had all kind of people. They had a red light district on Lackawanna Avenue back then. It was one of the most famous red light districts. Prostitutes were getting saved. I'm talking about bars were being shut down. I'm talking about all kinds of prayers for all kinds of people. I'm talking about revival praying. Hey, the last I checked out, the name of this church is Scranton Revival Baptist Church. How big is your God? What can your God do, my friend? He is only limited by our lack of faith, our lack of prayer. May God stir you up to make progress through using prayer for the gospel. And I want to finish out with a second and last point. Not only by the weapon of all kinds of prayer for all kinds of people, but by your weapon of prayer for government leaders. Listen to me. By your weapon of prayer for government leaders. First of all, look at verse 2, chapter 2. It says, when you're praying for all kinds of men, don't forget for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Now, I have people say, oh, Pastor, you shouldn't preach about politics. Oh, Pastor, you shouldn't get involved with politics. But let me tell you something. Brother Bob, you said it. If we don't pray for our leaders, then we're going to get the kind of government we deserve. And you say, what kind is that? A Marxist, communist, totalitarian, globalist, mark of the beast type government where, well, I'll just be honest with you. When I was at the rally, I said, you know, people ask me, Pastor, you know, politics is dirty. Why do you get involved in politics? It's dirty. You're a pastor. You're in a church. Why get involved in politics? I said, because I believe that unless we get the right leaders in, what I'm doing, I will be put in jail for very soon. I will be locked up. Artur Pawlowski, Alberta, Canada. He's been locked up numerous times. He served 51 days in jail. You say, well, why is Artur Pawlowski being locked up? Well, because Canada has given up what are our constitutional liberties that we have in the Bill of Rights. And they've given it up. What is the Second Amendment? The right to bear arms. If you don't have the right to bear arms, guess what? They'll take away your First Amendment. By the way, the right to bear arms on our founding fathers was not the right to shoot turkeys or ducks or pheasant. It was the right to shirt totalitarianism that would take away our God-given liberties enshrined in our Bill of Rights. Do you know about these things? And so I said at the rally, I am a pastor, but the Bible tells me right here I'm to pray for those in authority, that we would have the right kind of people. And I'll tell you what, I think a lot of Christians have not been doing that, and they need to be educated on what to pray for. Do you know Mary, Queen of Scots? Have you ever heard of Bloody Mary? You know, people have a drink called Bloody Mary. I don't drink that stuff, but Bloody Mary. The reason they called her Bloody Mary, Mary Queen of Scots, is she killed born-again Christians. She was for the Pope and for Rome, but she wasn't for getting saved through one mediator. Doesn't the Bible say there's one mediator? Between, there's one God and one mediator. Now, some people have the right God, but they have the wrong way to God. The way is not through Mary and Jesus. Sorry. The way is through Jesus alone. It's not Jesus plus your church or your works. It's Jesus alone. And there's one God and one mediator. And Mary, Queen of Scots, did not... She, if she heard me preaching this and she were alive and she was in power, she would have me locked up and probably beheaded. That's why they call her Bloody Mary. But do you know what? I'm sure many of you know this. It's a famous quote. Do you know the famous quote that I'm talking about that Bloody Mary said? Raise your hand if you know it. I'm sure a lot of you do. All right, I'll quote it. Bloody Mary said, "I fear the prayers of John Knox more than all the marching armies of England or Scotland." I fear that. Now listen to me. John Knox had power in prayer. It's been said that he was up praying at night and his wife said, "John, get back to bed. It's cold." And he was wrapped up in a blanket on the floor crying out in prayer. And he said, "I got to pray. I got to keep praying." He prayed all the way through. And you know what happened in the morning? He said, "I got victory. I can come to bed now." Mary, Queen of Scots, dropped dead as he said, "I got victory." You say, "Pastor, do you believe in praying for God's judgment upon the systems of evil over America?" I certainly do. I am praying for systems of evil and evil people to be judged because it's satanic. As I said when I was at the rally in Wilkes-Barre, I said, "Though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God has willed His truth to triumph through it." Listen, behind these evil people, there are devils. And I'm just going to come out and say it. It's no longer the Democrat Party, it's the Demon Rat Party. When you have Kamala Harris and Walls, therefore, mutilating minor children and taking off their reproductive organs by, quote-unquote, Dr. whatever, what's that guy in Nazi Germany, Dr. Mengele? Mutilating, they're doing the same devilish thing. This is not the Democrat Party of John F. Kennedy, where you had a legitimate difference. Nah, not any longer. I'm going to call it what it is. It's demon rat. It's wicked. You know, it's interesting. Kamala wants to have a capital gains tax. So let's say you have a house that's worth $100,000 and it goes to $200,000. It's worth $200,000. She wants you to give, out of that $100,000 gain on your house, 40% to the government. You say, "Oh, when I sell my house?" No, right now. Right as soon as you get the gain, she wants it on the IRS. She wants to take $40,000 from you. Now you sell your house, she wants to take the rest So that'll be 70% you'll be taxed of all your wealth that just is tied up in that house. 70% in right when you have it and when you sell. You know what I call that? Marxism, communism. I've seen that before, and I don't want any part of it. It is a wicked system. Donald Trump is not for that. And I thank God that he's raised up an alternative so that we aren't like, but listen, I am not afraid to pray. When I was at the rally, the Trump rally, 4,000 people there. We went backstage, some of the political leaders and then the pastor. We went backstage to meet with Donald Trump individually, have our picture taken with him, talk to him. And I was with some, Michaela was there. Michaela Cathio was talking to her quite a bit. I was talking to another lady who's running for office in Johnstown. And she came up to me. She said, "Oh, Pastor, I heard your prayer. I appreciated that." And I started telling her about prayers where Jesus cursed the fig tree. And he said, "Let this fig tree not bring forth fruit." The next day, the fig tree withered up and dried up. And his disciples said, How'd you do that? And he said, "Faith in God." He said, "Have faith in God." And I started saying, there are certain evil things that I have prayed, businesses, that God would wither them away and dry them up. And I've seen them dry up in a matter of days or weeks and not come back. I'm thinking of a place right now. I'm thinking of two places. One's in Clark Summit and the other's in Scranton. And I was telling her about that. And she said, "Pastor, would you do me a favor? The man that I'm running against, this Democrat, he's really wicked. He's doing bad things." She said, "Would you pray against him?" I said, "I certainly will." And I have. And I have. She said, "I believe in that power of prayer you're talking about." I'm just saying that we can pray for God to wither up the wrong and raise up the right. We can pray for that, and God will trump the devil. God will defeat the devil. God will give us something that will be an answer to our prayer, but we, God's people, need to do our part. And there are two movements of God. One is a movement that I believe is being raised up to fight against this leftist, Marxist, globalist, fascist agenda. And the other is the church, the Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. And we're separate, but we're working together, because as the church prays for and encourages the right people to get in, that gives us what it's saying here. And I want to go to the next verse. Come on with me. Look at the next verse. He says, I'm sorry, still in verse 2, he says that, okay, that means this is the purpose for your praying for these leaders, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Now, what does it mean by quiet? Quiet means that you don't have people coming into your money and taking your money away. You don't have people taking your money. By the way, this is what the demon rat left wants now. They want a central bank digital currency where they can put all your money, like China, in a bank, and you just have an ID eventually on your hand or forehead, and they can take your money away from you if you make wrong decisions. They can take away your freedom to take a vacation if you make wrong decisions. They can do all of those things. Paul is saying here, listen, we want a quiet life. Quiet means outside disturbances don't take away our God-given liberty. That's what our founding fathers wanted. We wanted a peaceable life that we might pursue the pursuit of happiness without government coming in and overstepping their bounds. Tyranny. And then peaceable means that which within is calm and peaceful. You have peace within. So you have quiet because of things without are being held away. I thank God puts a hedge around us. Job had that hedge, didn't he? And the devil wanted to get rid of it. He said, "Take it away." God said, "Okay, I'm going to give you permission. But you can only go so far." And then God put the hedge back again. Amen. Don't forget that. I want the hedge back up. I want America back again so we can live a peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. But listen, When you're praying to God for that, tell Him, we've left you. We've gone away from you. If you give it to us back and you give us the right kind of government back, we're going to use our freedom. And instead of being AWOL from God's work, we're going to be there with our attendance at church. We're going to be there with our tithes. We're going to be there with our offerings. We're going to be there to go out and march on the gates of hell and go out and tell people about Jesus Christ. We're going to do that. I'm not going to be AWOL. And many believers say, yeah, I want peace and prosperity. I want peace and prosperity, but I want it so I can have the kingdom of God now and enjoy my kingdom now. No, listen to me. We know that bad times are going to come, and we know that there's going to be a one world government, but we know Jesus is coming. And that's what we're living for. But I'll tell you what, in the meantime, I know the end times are coming, but not on my watch. I want to still have what we have had in our history, and I am willing to fight for it. I hope that you are willing to fight for it. Now, let me just say one more thing as we close it out, and that's verse 3. Go to verse 3. It says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior." Now, don't miss that verse 3. Pastor, you're going and praying at a Trump rally? You're going and praying for God to judge the system of evil? You're pointing out the evil in government? You're not supposed to be doing that. No, I preach the full counsel of God. This Bible touches on many different areas, and I'm going to preach on the full, and it says that this is good. Look at that. What I'm doing is good and acceptable. And that means very well-pleasing, by the way. The word acceptable means very well-pleasing in the sight of God, our Savior. Say, Pastor, how did you get to pray? God led me to do that. Because we've been praying here in church. We've been praying in the Revival Seekers Prayer. We've been, Bobby, having the times of prayer and fasting. And didn't go to the rally so we could pray and fast. And do what God wanted. God sees that. And I really believe that God's man is in a higher place than the politicians. And it's a benefit. And I want to thank God for this. I don't think I'd be asked to lead in prayer at a leftist rally. I don't think so. But I notice at these MAGA rallies that men of God are asked to pray. And that is a good and a wise thing. And we need to pray for the right kind of government, and we need to pray that, and we need to do our part. We need to do our part to take advantage of our, and 7 out of 10 Republicans not voting, that's got to stop. I went into Sam's Club the other day. I was telling them down the rally, and there was a man there and his son, 15-year-old son. And he saw me up in Dixon City. He said, "Oh, yeah, you're..." We talked a little bit, and then he said, yeah, I recognize you. I thought I recognized you. You're the guy that led in prayer at the rally. I said, yeah. He said, "My son registered 15 people to vote. And I'm sure it wasn't for Kamala Harris." Amen. God help us. God help us. She believes in abortion on demand. Donald Trump appointed judges that would overturn Roe v. Wade at the federal level and give the states the opportunity to vote and say, if we're against this, we don't want it. Thank God for that. Rather than mandate abortion on demand through some liberal judge. Thank God we've had God helping us. Let's pray. And realize, number one, that prayer is a weapon that can be greatly used to get people saved, and use every aspect of prayer to do that for all people that you can. Like Paul said, "I'm all things to all men that I might save some." He wanted to save as many as he could. And then number two, recognize that God wants you not only to pray all kinds of prayer for all people, but to pray for government leaders. For God to judge the systems that are wicked and bring in the right ones. May God help us. to do that. Let's bow for prayer, every head bowed. We've been talking about prayer as our weapon for the progress of the gospel.